The Gemara says that one of the things that stands at the heights of the universe, we seem to have a really hard time taking seriously, is davening. So you never need an excuse to learn about tefillah, to try to become better daveners. And I thought, since the source for davening mincha is actually based on a pasuk in this week's parsha, I thought it would be good for us to explore the potency and the power of tefillas mincha. The pasuk in the parsha is in the scene where Rivka is first meeting Yitzchak Avinu. And the Torah tells us in source number one, Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada lifnos erev. Yitzchak went out, lasuach basada, towards evening. What exactly does it mean, lasuach basada? So if you look at the Mefarshim, just in a standard chumash, in the Mikras Gedolos chumash, the Radak says, lasuach basada means, letayel bein hasichim. Yitzchak went out for a stroll. So in case you're ever looking for a source, a heter to go for a walk, now we have a source. Yitzchak Avinu, after I guess a long day, needed to go for a walk. The tile bein asicha means to go for a walk amongst the trees. And we had the word siach when Hagar places Yishmael under a siach, and Yishmael was burning up with fever. So a siach means a tree or a small bush. So Yitzchak went out for a walk, an evening stroll. Ad kan the words of the Radak. Chizkuni and the Rashbam write similarly that Yitzchak actually went out to check on his workers. Lasuach basada, says the Chizkuni in source number 3. Lashon tziach hasada, tachas achar hasichin. Again, the reference to that pasuk by Hagar and Yishmael. Klomar, what does it mean? Lintoa ilanos, he went out to lasuach basada, to be involved with trees. I guess that means to plant trees, says the Chizkuni. Lintoa ilanos, to plant trees. Vileros inyan pawalav, and to check on the growth of his trees, maybe to check on his workers, those who are involved with managing his estate. Chizkuni says, davar acher, lashon sicha, it's a lashon of conversation, ledaber leish hatzorech ledaber imo, to speak to the person he needed to speak to. So maybe it's some type of combination. He went out to the field, he's talking to his neighbor on the farm next door. I'm not sure exactly. But according to Radak and Chizkuni, again, the Torah is not revealing to us any major secret of Yitzchak's avoda, what makes Yitzchak the great pillar of one of our avos that he is. He went for a walk, he went to plant or check on his trees, check on his workers, have a conversation with his neighbor, whatever it is. Of course, comes along Rashi in source number 4, and Rashi says Yitzchak is not going for his evening stroll or out for a jog. Yitzchak is not just checking on his plants to see how his business is doing. Yitzchak went lasuach basada, Rashi says, lashon tefila. Yitzchak went to daven. Lasuach, the ultimate conversation that a person has. And Rashi quotes David HaMelech, yishpoch sicha. As a person pours out their heart before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what Yitzchak went to do. I guess Yitzchak was a Breslover chassid, you know, went out to the forest to do a little hisbodidus, to talk to Hashem in his own words. Okay. So from here we see that Yitzchak daven. But again, the time of day is significant. When was Yitzchak davening? What does it teach us really about the essence of davening? So the Gemara tells us, machlokas, where does davening come from? The fact that we have a shacharis and a mincha and a mariv, who made that up? Why do we daven 3 times a day? Why don't we daven 5 times a day? Like our Muslim cousins. Why don't we daven 10 times a day? Maybe we should daven once a day. Or maybe twice a day. We say Kriya Shema in the morning and at night, so maybe we should also have a Shemona Esrei, so to speak, a tefillah, morning and night. Where did the idea of 3 times a day, where does that come from? So the Gemara says maybe it parallels the karbanos of the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Gemara says, well, maybe also, maybe it corresponds to the avos. Maybe the 3 avos, each one created his own tefillah, or his own time to daven. Says the Gemara in source number 5, Itmar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina Amar, tefilos avos tiknum. Tfilos, as we know it, Shachris, Mincha Marev, was established by the Avos. And the Gemara quotes a second opinion that maybe Tfilos corresponds to the Karbanos. So which of the Avos instituted each of the Tfilos? It's logical. Gemara says in the second line, Avraham tikein Tfilas Shachris. Avraham Avinu created Shachris, Shenemar vayashkim Avram baboker elamakum asher amad sham. Avram got up early in the morning and he went to the place that he previously stood, And standing means davening, like we find the pasuk about Pinchas and Tehillim, ve'ya'amod Pinchas ve'yafalel. So if Avram stood, standing in that place means he davened. I have to take a time out here because there's an unbelievable insight that is hidden in this Maamar Chazal. What is the context of that pasuk? Ve'yashkem Avram baboker al hamakom asher amad sham. When did Avram wake up early in the morning to go to the place that he had previously stood? What is the place that he had previously stood? What's it talking about? So, if you look at the context, it's actually Avram overlooking Sodom. Overlooking the ruins of Sodom. The complete destruction of Sodom va'Amora. Avram is standing in the place where just before he was petitioning Hashem, maybe 50, maybe 40, maybe 30, maybe 20. And the Gemara says, that's the source for davening Shacharis. Going to the place that where you poured out your heart to Hashem and looking at how unsuccessful you are. That's the source for davening. No, what do we learn? The Belzer Rebbe said we learn an unbelievable thing. If the source for davening Shacharis is Avram standing over the ruins of Sodom, the place that he had previously begged Hashem to have Rachmanis on this city, and Avram fought for these Rasham. Right? Maybe, Hashem, I don't want to overstep, maybe 20, maybe 10. Maybe he could find some schus to save the city, and now Avram gets up by Yashkim. Zrizim Magdim and Levitzos. Gets up early, he's excited to wake up the next day, to go to the same spot where he was rejected, and to try to daven again. My friends, that's enough of a lesson for us to walk out of this room today, having learned a lot about tefillah. A Jew can't become frustrated in tefillah. The origin of tefillah, the creation of tefillah, Avram Avinu, Shacharis, is built on the possibility of when your tefillah is rejected, you try again. Avram went to the very place that he felt so rejected. And it wasn't just his tefillah wasn't answered. He was looking at almost a slap in the face, the ruins of Sodom. But I'll try again. An amazing thing to think about, that the Gemara's source for davening is Avram Avinu's willingness to continue to daven after being utterly rejected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? That's parenthetical. Continues the Gemara where it's bolded, Yitzchak tikein tefilas mincha. Yitzchak was the one who created mincha, and that's the pasuk in our parsha. Vayetza Yitzchak lasuach basada lifnos erev. Yitzchak went out towards evening to converse in the field, and like Rashi told us, ein sicha ala tefila. Sicha means conversing, not like Chizkuni said, with another person, but talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Gemara concludes that Yaakov Avinu was the one who instituted Maariv, and it brings the source for that as well. I guess before we go any further, since we're here in Stern College for Women, right, we should just, I guess, review, and again, I'm not here to give a halacha shir, but what exactly is the role of women with regard to tefillah? Because there are many areas of Jewish law that women and men have different rules. And a mitzvah saseisha azman grama, we usually assume a woman is exempt from. She could choose to do it, but technically she's exempt from doing so. So the Shulchan Aruch rules that when it comes to tefillah, women absolutely have an obligation to daven. Shulchan Aruch writes in source number 6, Noshim v'avadim afal pi shepeturim mikriyashma chayavim b'tefillah. Even though women are technically exempt from reciting kriyashma because it's a time-bound mitzvah, v'shach b'chov kumecha, when it comes to tefillah, says the Shulchan Aruch, women are absolutely obligated to daven, mipnei shehi mitzvah sasei shelo hazman grama. Because tefillah doesn't have a set time. So you'll say, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, you never went on myzmanim.com? What do you mean? I thought there is a set time for tefillah. Hey, what does it mean there's no set time for tefillah? What's sovzman tefillah? What is that? So I guess on a d'oraisa level, on a Torah level, perhaps as a daily obligation to daven, the fact that we daven shachris and mincha and ma'ariv and that we have zmanim for tefillah, all of that is already a second-tier understanding of the obligation to daven. But the basic obligation to daven, to converse with Hashem, again, not like the Gemara is breaking it up, Avram is Shacharis, and Yitzchak is Mincha, and Yaakov is Maariv. The basic obligation to communicate and to acknowledge, hey, Rabbi Shalom, how are you doing? Shalom Aleichem, Moda Ani Lefanecha. The Magen Avraham says, a woman may be able to fulfill her obligation of davening by saying, Moda Ani Lefanecha, when she wakes up in the morning. You have to just check in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That could be the most basic obligation of tefillah. But of course, if we delve a little bit deeper into the Mishnah Berurah, in source number 7, the Mishnah Berurah explains, Kol zeh ledas harambam shirak zmanei hatefillah hei midivrei sofer. Everything that you find here in the Shulchan Aruch is built on the opinion of the Rambam, that the Zman and that the times for Tefillah are rabbinically created. Aval ikur mitzvah Tefillah hi min haTorah. But the very notion of Tefillah, the concept of Tefillah, the fact that there's such a concept of communicating with Hashem, that's a pasuk in Chumash. Ula avdo b'chol levavchem, serve Hashem with all your heart, eizo avoda shehi b'lev. Again, probably the biggest mussar for us in the study of Tefillah is this one line of the Gemara, eizo avoda shehi b'lev. What is the avoda of the heart? Oh, that's interesting. I thought Tefillah was the avoda of the lips. Right. So, Chazal are telling us, the Torah is telling us, no, it's really not about how many words you say, it's about the intention with which you say them. Serve Hashem with all your heart, says the Gemara. What is avoda shebalev? Have omer zu tefila. What is avoda shebalev? Davening, expressing the feelings of your heart. Now, continues the Mishnah Berurah in the fourth line where it's bolded. Aval das haramban sheikar mitzvas tefila hi midivrei sofrim. Again, the Rambam holds that tefila itself is from the Torah. And the structure of tefillah is derabbanan. The Ramban writes that it could be that the daily obligation to daven is already rabbinic. It could be the Torah only expects you to daven in a time of crisis. Rav Soloveitchik very famously explained, in putting together the opinions of the Rambam and the Ramban, every day is a crisis, if we're honest, right? Every day is a micro crisis, if not a macro crisis. Every day we have existential needs. And therefore, every day, I guess, in a certain sense, we're desperate, and we have to daven. But the Ramban says the mitzvah of tefillah is midivrei sofrim, is rabbinic by nature. Shehem anchei kneses hagadola shetiknu shmona esrei brachos ala seder. The rabbis, the anchei kneses hagadola, established the concept of a shmona esrei. Lispal osan shachris umincha chova va'arvis rishus. And they established, the rabbinic institution was that shachris and mincha are obligatory, and Maariv is optional. And then, says the Mishnah Berurah, again skipping to where it's bolded, Afal pichein chivu osan betfilas shachris mincha kmo anasha. And therefore, even though one could argue that the whole thing is rabbinic by nature, and how does that impact the fact that women are not generally bound by mitzvah seishas man grama, says the Mishnah Berurah, women are in fact obligated in shachris and mincha, hol v'tfila hi bakashas rachamim. Because tefillah is something that every person needs. It's bakashas rachem, it's petitioning the creator of the world, I need your help. V'chein ikar ki kein das rov haposkim. In other words, the Chafetz Chaim's conclusion in the Mishnah Berurah is that women have an obligation to daven, shachris, and mincha. Okay, speak to your local Orthodox authority if you want to question that, if you're not sure how that applies to you, but that is standard practice according to the Mishnah Berurah and according to most poskim. That women have an obligation to daven shachris and mincha. Maariv is optional. It could be for men today, maariv is obligatory. Okay. But again, just as a framework that we're not talking about something theoretical, it seems that it is appropriate for women to daven shmona esrei, for shachris, and for mincha. Good. So Yitzchak was the one who created mincha. That's this week's parsha. What I want to talk about today is why is mincha so important? Why is mincha so important? Of all the tefillos, why is mincha perhaps the most important tefillah? And to try to understand maybe why it's even called mincha. Where does the name mincha come from? What is the power of mincha? What's unique about mincha? And I can't give this shiur without thinking about how my wife always told me. She always said in such a way of positive recollection, the experience that she had when she was in Stern, of herself and her friends grabbing a mincha in between classes, sometimes in a stairwell, right? Sometimes in the back of a classroom. I just came from the basement, which I saw many young women davening mincha. Right? There's something about tefillas mincha that sometimes it's a little bit haphazard. But that might be the secret of what makes mincha so special. The Gemara tells us in Brachos, the Avavim and Beis, in Source number 8, La'olam yehei adam zahir betfilas ha-mincha. A person should always be very, very careful about mincha. Sharei Eliyahu lo nana ela b'tfilas ha-mincha. Because Eliyahu HaNavi, in a very intense scene in Sefer Malachim Aleph, Eliyahu HaNavi was answered in the schus of mincha. Now, to be honest, the Gemara goes on and says, well, you should also daven Maariv, you should also daven Shachris, those are also really good. But the Gemara first emphasizes mincha. There's something unique about Mincha. There's something different. Categorically, Malaysian was able to do something miraculous with the Koach of Mincha. So let's review the Pesukim. What happened with Eliyahu HaNavi in Malachim Aleph? So if you remember the scene, Eliyahu HaNavi gathers everyone to Har Carmel. It's in source number 9. V'yishlach Achav b'chol b'nei Yisrael v'yikbotzas hanavim al Har Carmel. We're in a time when Eliyahu HaNavi is the true messenger, the true Navi of Hashem, and there are many false prophets, Nevi'ei Baal. And they gather at Har Carmel for this epic showdown. Who's right? Is Hashem right? Is Baal the true God? Right? And it's this awesome battle of Eliyahu, this lone soldier of faith, taking on literally hundreds of prophets of Baal. Vayigash pasuk chaf aleph. Vayigash Eliyahu el kol ha'am vayomer. Ad masai etem poischim al shtei hasipim. How long are you going to be straddling the fence? There were a lot of Jews who were confused. Whose team are you on? Do you believe in Hashem? Do you believe in Baal? Do you believe in a little bit of both? Because that's a contradiction. If Hashem hu elokim, l'chu achrav it. If you believe in Hashem, so invest yourself wholeheartedly in Hashem. V'im ha-baal, l'chu achrav. An amazing offer Eliyahu is saying. You know what's worse than being an idol worshiper? Not even being sure what you believe in. That's what we learned from this pasuk. He says, if you believe in Baal, at least be wholehearted about it. Right? At least then, one day, when you get to the Olam HaEmes and you find out that you were on the wrong team, you can at least say, well, at least I was dedicated to what I believed. It may have been a mistake. To spend your whole life not even sure which team you're on. Eliyahu says that's the biggest tragedy of all. That's next week's Parsha. That's Rivka coming to the prophet and saying, hold on a second, what's going on inside of me? When I walk past the house of idolatry, there's something kicking inside of me. When I walk past the base of Edrash, something's kicking inside of me. And she says, "In Cain, lama ze anochi? I can't live like this." Because at that point, Rivka thinks I have one child inside of me who's utterly conflicted. That's the worst. Can't make up his mind. Do you believe in Avodah Zarah? Do you believe in God? What do you choose? What's the purpose of your life? If your goal is to make a lot of money, so go make a lot of money. And stop pretending to be religious. If you want to be religious, if living a life of meaning is what matters most, so then take your religion seriously. But there's some people who, you know, they're trying to live in both worlds. They want the best of secular culture and they want the best of religious life. It's unattainable. It becomes unrealistic at a point. So Eliyahu says to them, how long are you going to be straddling the fence? Pick a team already. V'lo anu ha'am oso davar. And no one responded. People were conflicted. They were lost. So Eliyahu offers the following challenge. Pasuk Chav Beis. Vayomer Eliyahu la'am, ani nosarti navi ha'ashem levadi. I am the last navi of Hashem. I'm the last of the true believers. Unevi'e ha'baal arba meos v'chamishim ish. 450 prophets of Baal stand against me. But guess what? I'm not going to give in to popular opinion. And I'm going to prove to you that I'm on the right team, even if I'm outnumbered. So he sets up this challenge. He says, we're going to take two bulls that the prophets of Baal are going to try to offer this bull to Baal, and I'm going to try to offer this bull to Hashem. I'll give you first pick. You can pick whichever animal you want. Build the Mizbeach. Don't light the fire yourself. Pray to your God to bring down the fire, and whoever brings down the fire, I guess that's the one who's got the true religion. So that's what they did. The Nevi'ei Baal, they took an animal and they cut it in half, and they stood there and they were crying out to Baal, hoping for some type of salvation, waiting for that fire to descend from on high. Pasuk Chav Vav, where it's bolded. From morning until late afternoon, they were calling out to Baal, Anenu, Baal, Anenu, ve'ein kol, ve'ein ona. And there was no answer. And the pasuk says, v'yifaschu al mizbeach asher asa. They're hopping around, they're jumping on the mizbeach, you know, giving it a kick, trying to get it going. Where's the fire? What's happening? Nu, finally, it's late in the afternoon, v'yihi b'tzaharayim. Eliyahu is laughing at them. How many hours are you going to spend here waiting for your God to answer you? Eliyahu says, it's my turn to show you who the true God is. And that's exactly what Eliyahu does. Eliyahu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pasuk Chav Tes, Vayikavor HaTzarayim, Vayisnabu Ad La'alos HaMincha, Ve'ein Kol Ve'ein Ona. It's getting later and later. It's almost, you know, it's almost Sof Zman, it's almost Shkia. Last chance is to daven mincha. They're trying to bring their mincha. They're trying to bring their offering to their God, and nothing's happening. And now, says the Navi, Pasuk Lamed Vav, and this is the Pasuk that the Gemara quotes about the importance of davening mincha. La'olam, a person should always be zahir about mincha. Pasuk lamed vav. Vayihi ba'alos ha-mincha. Vayigash Eliyahu ha-Navi v'yomer Hashem Elokei Avram Yitzchak v'Yisrael. Hayom yivada ki ata Elokim v'Yisrael. Today is your chance to prove that you are the true God. Hashem, here's your big opportunity. I need your help. Va'ani avdecha v'dvarcha asisi es kol ha-dvar me'ila. I set this whole thing up because I know you're going to come to my rescue. Aneini Hashem, aneini. This is his mincha. In his own words. Answer me, Hashem. Please answer me. V'yeidu ha'am hazeh ki ata Hashem Elokim. People will know the truth and they'll have a change of heart, says the Pasuk. What happens? Pasuk lamed ches. V'tipol eish Hashem. The fire of Hashem descends from on high. V'tochel asa'ola v'sa'itzim v'sa'savanim v'sa'ofer. The whole mizbeach goes up. Mamash, the whole thing goes up in smoke. And Eliyahu had them pour water on it to show that even if it was, you know, drenched in water, it could still burn well. And the whole thing goes up in fire. Vayar, last pasuk for today. Vayar kol ha'am v'yiplu al paneyam v'yomru Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. And he made believers out of these people. And this all took place in the context of what? Vayhi ba'alos ha-mincha, says the Gemara. This was all the power of mincha. An awesome turn of events. Eliyahu was able to change the whole situation, to convince people. 450 Nevi'ei Baal, who obviously had some type of charisma or powers or something, that they were so attractive that the people didn't know initially what to say to Eliyahu. But when they saw this, when they saw the power of his tefillah, Neini Hashem, desperate, and he cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the sun is just starting to set in the background, all of a sudden, there's this unbelievable breakthrough. So I asked you, my friends, what is it about mincha? It's an amazing scene, it's a powerful scene. The Gemara says, take mincha seriously, look what Eliyahu accomplished with mincha. He made thousands of Bali tshuva. Everyone who was watching this scene was convinced by watching his koach of mincha to bring an eish down from Shemayim to light this carbon on fire to rebuke and to disprove the Nevi'ei Baal. What an unbelievable turn of events. But what is it about mincha? What's so special about mincha? So first of all, what was the first tefillah ever davened? When was the first tefillah ever davened? So I found an unbelievable thing in the Chidah. The Chidah of Chaim Yosef David Azulai was one of the great Sephardi tzaddikim who lived several hundred years ago. He wrote countless works in every area of Torah, Halacha, Kabbalah, Parsha, Shilos, and everything. There's no area that the Chidah didn't touch. He has a sefer called Midbar Kademos in source number 10. It's arranged alphabetically, topically, and under his entry for Tefillah, he writes, Ta Masha Amru Chazal Yos Zahir B'Tefillas Mincha. Why should you take Mincha so seriously? What's so powerful about mincha? You can argue, mincha's my worst tefillah of the day. In the morning, I'm scheduled. I get up with enough time to daven. Mincha, I'm running in between classes. I'm trying to find 5 minutes here. This time of the year, the sun goes down early. I have a busy schedule. I feel like I'm always rushed during mincha. That's the great tefillah. That's such a powerful tefillah. I'm going to be able to be like an Eliyahu HaNavi. I'm going to bring down fires from Shemayim. I can barely find 2 minutes to find a corner to go daven mincha. Yet Chazal say, be zahir about tefillas mincha, it's so special. What's so special about it? Says the Chidah, he's really quoting the Arizal, Sha'tfila rishona shahaisa ba'olam, haisa tefillas adam arishon, b'minchas erev Shabbos shenotzer. If you look at the Gemara describes how Adam was created, of course, on the sixth day of creation. The Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin gives the timeline of Adam's creation. And the time, based on which he was created, the first tefillah he would have davened, as he was going from Friday to Shabbos, the very first tefillah ever prayed by the first person to pray, Adam HaRishon, was tefillas mincha. So maybe that's why mincha is so special. Maybe mincha is so precious and so special because the first time that Adam HaRishon, the first human being, communicated with God, maybe mincha is so special because if we go back to the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who created mincha? Yitzchak. Think about it like this. The person's not feeling well. Yeah, you're having trouble with your tooth. So you go to a cardiologist and you say, I'm having some trouble with my tooth. So the cardiologist says, I'm not sure why you came to me. That's not my specialty. Right? So you go to a podiatrist and you say, I'm having some trouble with my tooth. That's not my field. Eventually, you go to a dentist. And the dentist, of course, is able to help you. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What was the trait of Avraham? What was the trait of Yitzchak? What was Yaakov known for? Chazal tells us in Pirkei Avos, the world stands on Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Who of the three avos is the embodiment of Gemilas Chasadim? Who's the Ish Chesed par excellence? Avram Avinu. Who's the Torah scholar par excellence? Yaakov Avinu. Who is the pillar of Avoda, which means the Beis HaMikdash and Karbanos, but in our world it means Tefillah. Who is the one who was himself a Tefillah? He was himself a Karban, a Kedas Yitzchak. So maybe that's why Mincha is so special. Because maybe Yitzchak is the specialist, so to speak, in Tefillah. That's his area of expertise. So maybe when we daven Mincha, we somehow connect ourselves, right, by way of this Gemara, that Yitzchak was metakein Tefillas Mincha, so maybe that's the unique koach of Mincha. Could be. Maybe it's the first Tefillah ever davened, like we saw in the Chidah. Maybe Mincha is Yitzchak's department. Yitzchak is the specialist in Tefillah. Could be. Maybe there's something about the feeling a Jew has when he or she davens Mincha. Says the Medrash in source number 11. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, Keneged Gimel Pamim Shayom Mishtaneh. Why do we daven three times a day? Because the day exchanges, it changes itself at three different points. What does that mean? Ba'arvis Tzarech Adam Lomar. When I daven Marv, I know exactly what I want to say. What do I say? Right? This is a loose translation of what the whole Marv experience is. What am I expressing through Arvis? Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokai. Shetotzi'enu me'afela la'ora. Hashem, I'm about to go to sleep. The day is ending. I'm about to give my neshama back to you. Marv is a fear that I want to make sure that I wake up tomorrow morning. I know exactly what I'm asking for, Marv. I'm saying, thank you, I made it through today. Hashem, please give me tomorrow. What am I saying in Shacharis? B'shachris, Sarah Lamar, a person says, Moda'ani lefanecha, Hashem Elokai, Shetotzi'eni me'afela la'ora. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for waking me up in the morning. I went to sleep at night. Sleep is the 60th of death, according to the Gemara. It's a miniature form of dying. It's not to be taken for granted. You wake up in the morning. So when I go to sleep at night, I know exactly what I want to say. I know what I'm saying, Marv. Shachris, I know exactly the thank you that I'm giving Hashem. What about Mincha? What is Mincha? What's my Yehi Ratzon, so to speak, for Mincha? B'mincha tzarech lomar, it's bolded in source 11. Yehi Ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokai, shekashem shezichisani liros chama bizrichasa, kach tizacheni lirosa b'shkiasa. Just like I was zocha to start today, I hope I'll be able to finish the day. Now, what's so powerful about that? Why is that in some ways even more powerful? When I go to sleep at night, I'm davening Hashem, I want to wake up tomorrow. When I wake up in the morning, I'm saying, thank you Hashem for waking me up. But there's something about, right, my waking hours, when I'm living my life, when I'm in it, when I'm experiencing it, that in some ways is the scariest of all. Going to sleep at night, there's an assumption I'm going to wake up tomorrow. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm truly thankful for that. But making it through the day, there's so many things, there's so many variables. There's a million and one things that can happen in any given day. Right? You don't know throughout the course of the day, is it going to be a good day, is it going to be a bad day? Right? How's your day going so far? Seriously, how's your day going so far? It's been a good day, it's been a bad day, it's been a good and a bad day. A lot of different things happen over the course of the day. Right? First thing that happened this morning was great, then I got a phone call and it was terrible, and then the next thing was great, and good, and bad, and up and down. There's this anxiety that a person goes through over the course of the day, because there's so many things happening as life is actually being lived. Not when I'm just davening, I hope to have another day. Or not when I wake up in the morning and I'm hopeful it's going to be a great day. But as the day is unfolding, with all of its ups and downs, to be able to talk to Hashem through that, of course that tefillah is going to be more real. That's when I feel that I need Hashem most. In a certain sense, that's when I feel that Hashem, I'm most in your hands. I'm riding the roller coaster. Right? It's not thanking Hashem for surviving the roller coaster after I got off the ride. It's not davening when I'm waiting online to get on the roller coaster. I hope it's going to be a good ride. It's when a person is literally about to go through that like triple loop and you're wondering like, why on earth did I get onto this roller coaster? Right? The tefillah is much more deep. It comes from a deep place because you're experiencing it. You're feeling the need to be in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands at that moment. So maybe that's what makes tefillas mincha so special. Could be. Let's go one step further. The Torah, who codified halacha, who organized halacha for us, made the four sections of halacha that would later be followed by Rav Yosef Karo and the Shulchan Aruch. The Torah says something very simple, and it's really, again, it's my tefillah and bracha to all of you, that you should take your mincha seriously. Not only seriously that you should make sure that you do it, but even when you think that was a terrible mincha. I was so rushed, I was so distracted. I didn't have a proper amount of time to daven mincha. Realize that that mincha is very chashuv. It's a very powerful thing. Says the Torah in source number 12. Me'od tzarech li'zayir ba. Be careful about mincha. And he quotes the Gemara that we mentioned. And he explains, you know why mincha is so powerful? In the third line, va'atam, where it's bolded. Mipnei she'tfilas ha'shachar zman yadua ba'boker. My shachris, if I'm an organized person, I can schedule my shachris. I can determine how long I want, how long I need for shachris. I can arrange my day as such. When I wake up in the morning, yisbal miyad kodim she'torid basakav. Before I have to get busy with all of the distractions of life, and all of the obligations of life, and the responsibilities of life, and the opportunities of life, before my day starts to evolve and unfold before my eyes, I'm able to daven shachris, hopefully with a little bit of yishuv adas. V'chol shekein erev balayla, once I'm done for the day, I'm done with my work, I'm done with school, I finish my classes, now I have a chance, hopefully, to take a breath, to daven ma'ariv, bekavana. Says the Torah, those tfilos are much easier. Aval, two lines from the end, aval shal mincha, shi be'emsa hayom. I just realized now that my source sheet is a different size font than yours. So all the lines I've been telling you are probably wrong. Like if I said third line, it could be it's your fourth line or fifth line. So I'm sorry, I just realized that. I wanted to get the Maamar Kamus onto one page. Is it too small? How's the font? It's a little small. No, it's okay. I'm trying to save paper. A little Rachmanis on the trees. Okay, so says the Torah. In mine, it's two lines from the end. What is it about mincha? Mincha is be'emtza hayom. Right? Shachris, I didn't start my day yet. I can still breathe. I can still daven. Ma'ariv, the day is over, I can find a nice quiet corner and take my time. Mincha? Mincha's like, I'm under attack from all sides. I'm busy, it's the middle of my day. And something just came out, I just got a really important phone call. And now it's almost shkia, the sun is setting, and I'm trying to figure out. Take the phone call, think, oh, it's this person, I've been trying to connect with this person for 3 months. For this job, or for this shidduch, or this person really needs my help, and I'm not sure, what should I do? Mincha, namid. And I go to the corner, and I daven a quick mincha, and I feel like, ugh, what kind of mincha is that? What was the point of that? In the middle of all my busyness, when a person carves out time to communicate with Hashem, it's not just, again, that mincha was the first tefillah ever davened. And it's not that mincha has the extra oomph, because it's the tefillah of Yitzchak, who himself was a karban. And it's not just that my day is filled with trepidation, so I feel nervous, so I feel like I need Hashem more. It's on those days where things are going great, and things are really busy, and it's easy to forget about Hashem, and that somehow I carve out time in the middle of all the busyness to just check in and say, hi, Rabbanu Shalom. As great as today is, I know I still need you. Or as bad as today is, I know I still have you. And to be able to say thank you to Hashem. And to acknowledge Hashem as creator of the world. To do that amidst all of the busyness. Ba'od shu tarid ba'asakav. While you're so busy with everything you're so busy with. L'sumo so alibo. To take a minute and say, you know what? Ah, I'm sorry. I have to end this phone call because now is time for mincha. To prioritize Hashem in my life. That's the power, says the Torah, of Tfilas Mincha. To turn away from everything and to turn towards Hashem. Ulifnos mikol asakav. Ulispalos. To break from all my busyness. I'm too busy for God. Too often we think we're too busy for Hashem. Mincha, even if it's a 2-minute mincha in a stairwell, somewhere between the fifth and sixth floor of Stern College. In between classes, running. Trying to do 16 other things at the same time. But you know what? I pause for 2 minutes and I say, Hashem, I'm gonna program you into my day. And sometimes I don't know. Sometimes it's at 1:30, sometimes it's at 3:30. It's not as set as my shachris or my marv, if one davens marv. It doesn't have that yishuv hadas. It's in the midst of all that busyness, but I stop to say, Hashem, I still recognize you. That's the most gevaldik thing in the world. What did they say in response to Eliyahu HaNavi? Who at mincha time brought down this fire from heaven. What was the response? Aneni Hashem, Aneni Hashem, I need your help. Right? In the middle of all of this, I really need your help. What was the response? Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. When do we say Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim? For us, that's the end of Yom Kippur. That's like the highest point of tefillah of the whole year. And yet that's the context, the Gemara says, of tefillah's mincha. Grabbing 2 minutes in between classes in a corner of the cafeteria? And the answer is yes. Because you're programming Hashem into your life. You're making time for Kadosh Baruch Hu when it's not so easy. And that's what makes it so special and so powerful. I want to share with you a quote from a Chassidish Sefer, from the Sefer Magen Avram, the Trisker Magid, who lived in the 1800s. Amazing, amazing vart that he brings from the Baal Shem Tov. Okay? I hope you'll believe it. I hope you'll really believe it. You can say the Baal Shem Tov is always just so nice. He's always saying nice things to make us feel good. But I hope you can really, really believe this. He says it, the Trisker Magid says it as a drasha on a couple of psukim in Parshas Balak. How does Parshas Balak begin? Balak, of course, is interested in hiring Bilam to curse the Jews. Chazal say it was the scariest merger in history. Bilam and Balak coming together against Klal Yisrael was the greatest threat. It was the greatest threat to the Jewish people that we ever faced. Of all of our enemies, Bilam and Balak working together, the Zohar says, was the greatest threat to the Jewish survival that ever was. And yet, look what the psukim say. Vayar Balak ben Tzippor es kol asher asi Yisrael amori. What inspired Balak to respond to the Jews? He saw all that the Jewish people had done to the Amori. Vayagar Moav v'pnei ha'am, and the people, Moav was very frightened by Klal Yisrael. They were Vayagar ha'am ma'od. Ki ravu. Vayakatz Moav v'pnei b'nei Yisrael. They were disgusted by b'nei Yisrael. These Jews, we got to do something about them. And Balak goes and he hires Bilam as a way to deal with it. That's the Pashup Shot. Let's understand B'derach Drush, and then really understand as a lesson in our Avodas Hashem of why that 2-minute mincha is so precious to Hashem. Vayar Balak, says the Magen Avram, source 14. Ha'inyin masha Balak tared kol kach mipnei b'nei Yisrael. What was so bothersome to Balak? What was he so busy? He was so nervous. He was so afraid of Klal Yisrael. Acheshalach achrei Bilam. Well, he had to hire the greatest prophet of the Umas Ha'olam to curse Klal Yisrael. What was so scary about the Jews? What's our ultimate weapon? Tefillah is our ultimate weapon. Yedayim yedei Esav. Esav fights with his hands, but Hakol kol Yaakov. The Jewish people, our voice is our greatest weapon. So says the Magen Avram, what does our Pasuk say? Vayar Balak. Balak saw. What did Balak see that made him so scared? Es kol asher asi Yisrael la'amori. Pashut Pshat, he saw all the Jews had done to the Amori. But on a deep level, what did he see? Amori hu lashon amira v'dibor. He saw what Jews are able to do with their speech. He saw how Eliyahu, a man completely outnumbered, talks to Hashem and brings out a fire. In a moment of real prayer, that the Nevi'ei Baal, the whole day they spent trying to petition their God and couldn't get anything to happen. Baal scared when he saw the Amori, he saw the power of Jews' speech. Hainu mash Yisrael osim be'imre v'diburei piham. B'toru v'tfila. A Jew says words of Torah, even if it's a little bit. When a Jew says words of tefillah, even if it's not with the greatest kavanah. V'lachein v'yogar Moav mipnei ha'am. Moav was scared of the Am. Am is usually a term that we use for very plain Jews, very regular Jews, like an Am Ha'aretz. He says differently, the Gemara sometimes refers to coals, hot coals that are almost extinguished, as gecholim omamos. It means dimmed. So Balak, this powerful king, is scared of what? Of even weak Jews. Even the speech of weak Jews. Even a Jew doesn't have the greatest kavan in the world. But when a Jew talks to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening. And it matters to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he hired the great spokesman of the Umas Ha'olam. He hired Bilam with his Koach HaDibor to try to stop B'nai Yisrael. And then he writes an unbelievable, cut this out, hang it on your wall, stick it in your sitter, do something with it. He writes an unbelievable thing. I heard from my father in the name of Baal Shem Tov, where it's bolded. Shegam ze ha'ish ha'miturad be'isek kol hayom. A person who's busy all day. I'll make it relevant to your life. Bishvakim uverachovos. Not necessarily in the marketplaces and in the streets, trying to make a living, but in class, trying to get good grades, trying to write papers, trying to take exams. Ukema'ach shochech she'ish borei olam. And you're so busy running from this class to that class and trying to just keep up with all of your responsibilities, that kemat, it's ke'ilu, you forget that there's a creator to the world. How much time did I really think about Hashem? I sat in the biology class for an hour and a half. How much of that time did I think about Hashem? Well, maybe I saw God in the biology. Could be. Or I sat in the accounting class, or I sat in this class, or that class. How much time did I think about, for an hour and a half, I forgot about God. So what happens all of a sudden? Rak be'ez shemegi azman tfilas mincha. All of a sudden you look up and you say, oh, it's a mashkiah. I didn't daven mincha. I like to be the type of person who davens mincha.
Olal zichrono shehigi hazman tefila, all of a sudden it enters your mind. Oy, I forgot to daven. V'goneach v'nenach belibo. You let out a sigh, krechs. Bizboininess, when you contemplate, eich shepana kol hayom behevle ha'olam. How did I spend the whole day involved in working on matters of this world, and I left very little time for my relationship with Hashem? Look at these words. V'hurats l'simta achas menatzad. And you run off into a corner of a spalo mincha. Hagam she'ini odeya klal nashu medaber. Even though you're still thinking about the class that you just stepped out of for 2 minutes, daven ha mincha. Or you're thinking about the email you're in the middle of writing. Or you're thinking about whatever it is that you were worrying about, waiting for that phone call. So you're nervous the call's going to come while you're standing in that corner, davening mincha. Im kol zeh, gam zeh chashuv v'yakar ma'od lefnei ha'bori baruch. Hashem says, wow, despite all of the burdens of olam hazeh, this person remembered me. And Hashem says, that's not a small thing. And the sigh that you let out, oy, I nearly forgot the daven mincha. That sigh, says the Baal Shem Tov, breaks open the skies. And therefore, Balak, Bilam, they were afraid of a Jew who was even a simple member of Am Yisrael, not the most distinguished individuals, who have all the time to sit and to daven and to learn. But the Jew grabs a moment of tefillah, standing in a corner in an alleyway, to use the language of the Baal Shem Tov, rots l'simta, running into a corner to daven. It's a precious thing in the eyes of Hashem. Why do we call mincha mincha? Says the Holy Berditcher of the Kedusha Slavi in this week's parsha. Lama nikra tefillas mincha. What does the word mean? So you could say, well, maybe it's mincha. Maybe it comes from menuchas Hashemesh. Maybe it comes from the fact that the sun is restoring itself to its place, so to speak, sunset. He quotes the Tosfos Yom Tov and Maseches Brachos that says such an idea. Could be. What else is a mincha? What does the word mincha mean? An offering, a gift. What is the gift of mincha? It's a gift that we actually give to Hashem. And of course, it's a gift Hashem gives to us by allowing us to give Him that gift. Says the Berditcher in the final paragraph on the page. V'li nira kach. Shebishvil ze nikra b'lashon mincha. You know why it's called mincha? Dinei tefilas ha-shachar, sarach ha-adam lispal al zeh, shehechzir lo neshama. Shachar, again, is very clear to us what the goal is. Thank you, Hashem, for waking me up in the morning. A person says, emes v'yatziv, v'gam osalo Hashem yizbarach, kama tovos Hashem, thank you for all the good things you do for me. Da'inu Hashemesh ha-meyer v'od kama dvar. Like the brachos we say in the morning. Malbish ha-rumim, pokeach ivrim. You gave me the ability to stand up, to get dressed, open my eyes. All those things, that's all encapsulated within shachris. Shachris, it's clear what we're doing. Tfilas arvis, mariv, gam ke mechuyavan anu lispalel, amasha anu nosnim l'Hashem yizbarach neshama pikavon. Mariv, it's also clear. I'm about to give my soul back to Hashem. God is going to watch over my soul. I'm a little bit nervous, but I trust that Hashem will give it back to me tomorrow. Ma'aminim sha'abori baruch hu aneman b'pikdono b'vada yachzor lanu kirtzono. Hashem will give back that soul which he's taking as collateral for the night. No problem. We understand what that's about. Emes ve'emuna. We daven for Ma'ariv. What is mincha? Says the Berditcher in the final two lines. Aval tfilas mincha. Ein anu mechuyavim lispalel. It's not clear exactly what it is. I can bookend my days. The same way I say Shema in the morning, I say Shema at night. Kabbalah is Ol Malchus Shemayim for the day. I accept the yoke of heaven for day. I accept the yoke of heaven for night. What is Mincha? What is Mincha? It's the middle of it's no man's land. What is it? Says the Berditcher Mincha. It's true. In a certain sense, we don't need to daven Mincha. Al pi halacha, we do. But he's saying, in terms of Hashkafa, we can kind of do without it. But we choose the daven mincha. We want the daven mincha. Because I don't want to be the type of Jew who goes all day thinking about myself and can't carve out a couple of minutes for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if it means standing in a corner, even though it looks a little funny, Hashem, I'll do it for you. Rak she'anu menadvim oso, we donate it to Hashem. It's our gift to you, Hashem. V'lakach nikra lashon mincha shu lashon nedava. It's a gift. It's an offering. It's a present to you, Hashem. Again, with all the other kavanas that we said. But at the end of the day, we could say, you know what, Hashem, as long as I check in the morning and at night, that's good enough. V'agisa bo yom v'alayla. I study Torah at day, I study Torah at night. I say Shema in the morning, I say Shema at night. What's mincha, the middle of the day? It's my gift to you, Hashem. It's my recognition of you in my life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's just end by coming full circle. How did we begin? One of the Rebbeim who I work with pointed out an interesting thing to me the other day. How do we begin? What was Yitzchak doing in the field? So he said he was going for a stroll. He was checking on his plants, checking on his workers, having a conversation with his neighbor. No, says Rashi, he's davening based on the Gemara. Which is it? But the answer is, it's really both. The person who could take time while he's working to daven, while I'm relaxing, going for that evening stroll to say, you know what, hold on a second. I know I'm really tired from the day. It's been a long afternoon, but I'm going to pause for a minute to just make sure that Hashem has a place. That's exactly what mincha is. It's a tefillah that comes about while I'm out for a stroll, while I'm talking to a friend, I take a pause, while I'm checking on my investments, checking on my plans, checking on my stocks, whatever it is, I pause from my pursuits to make sure that I make time for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So my friends, I hope you should take your tefillas mincha seriously. If you don't have time for mincha, or you don't think you have time for mincha, make time for mincha. And if you already make time for mincha, even if it feels harried and rushed and it seems too busy and I just, what's it worth? It's a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Appreciate that opportunity and make sure that you take advantage of it each and every day of your lives. Thank you so much. Have a great day.